Dear Madam, dear President Bishop Munip Yunnan, dear General Secretary Martin Junge, dear Council members, sisters and brothers. It is indeed an honor to present to you the report of the Special Committee 500 Years of Reformation. You have received the report in advance. Therefore, I will limit myself to some highlights with a PowerPoint presentation, but preceded by more general observations on the importance of the event we are heading to, as well as on the perspectives under which the Special Committee addressed the task assigned to it. To commemorate a 500 years anniversary is, of course, not an everyday event. To have something bigger, we would have to wait after 2017 for another 500 years. And quite obviously, none of us will be there. Well, a good number of us, but possibly not all, will have the chance of participating at the commemoration of the 500 years of the Augsburg Confession in 2030, a kind of complement to the Reformation 2017 event. Point is, we are looking forward and moving forward to an event of really historic dimension and implications. This not only for the Lutheran Communion, but I would dare to say, in one way or other, for the entire Christian family. This meeting of the LWF Council will also receive and deal with a highly significant report of the Lutheran Roman Catholic Commission on Unity, addressing a Lutheran Catholic common commemoration of the Reformation in 2017. Its content is inspiring and challenging, and its title, From Conflict to Communion, is programmatic in itself and gives, concise as it is, ample reason for gratitude and joy. I share with you another example which shows vividly how positively another important branch of today's Christianity, namely Pentecostalism, relates to the Reformation which took place 500 years ago. It happened years ago in Chile, also called a land at the end of the world. Well, after the Pope Francis' declaration the day he was elected, letting us know that he comes from the end of the world, Chileans and Argentinians may compete for this title. But as we all know, they are very good neighbors, of course. But coming back to the example I promised to share, Chile's population is traditionally Catholic in its majority. There, the evangelical community, constituted of small historic Protestant churches, among them the two LWF member churches, and of a large number of growing Pentecostal churches, they had struggled for the establishment of a national holiday which would be representative of the evangelical community. There were already holidays out of the Catholic tradition. It was not difficult for them to identify October 31st as the day which would be representative of their longing, of their tradition, and their identity. When the Chilean Senate came to a final vote on the proposal, the galleries were filled with members of those churches. If I'm not mistaken, Martin Junge was present on that occasion as well. When the result of the voting was announced, establishing the new national holiday, these members, a wide majority of them Pentecostals, stood up and spontaneously, in one voice, started to sing A Mighty Fortress. The image of Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the door of the Church of the Castle in Wittenberg, independently of how faithful it is to the historic event, is yet a powerful symbol, not simply for an event, but for an historic process of the theological rediscovery of the marvelous grace of God to be received in faith for our salvation. Solus Christus, sola gratia, sola fide. Therefore, it was indeed a truly liberating event, and its message continues to be liberating today in many ways. But as grateful as we are for the spiritual legacy of the Reformation, and as decisive as we consider the message of salvation by grace through faith, it is also painful to us that 500 years after the Christian family continues to be divided. Therefore, the commemoration of the anniversary, the special committee suggests also to comprise a self-critical analysis of our own failures, shortcomings, and sins. This corresponds, we believe, to the emphasis on a theology of the cross, so dear to Luther, and to the theological understanding that we are simultaneously justified and sinners, and that no church is immune to the consequences of this reality. Therefore, we also understand that the Church of the Reformation should always remain a church in Reformation. Having said this, our ecumenical sensitivity compels us also to clarify in which sense we adopt the very term Reformation as characteristic for our identity. It could be misunderstood as pointing to a totally new beginning. This, of course, is not the case. For Luther, the idea of having, by his teaching and action, created a new church was absolutely inconceivable. Up to the end of his life, he considered himself simply as a minister, pastor of the one apostolic, holy, and Catholic Church of Christ in Wittenberg. And he actually wanted nobody to call themselves by his unworthy name. Reformation was then a return to the origin of the church, to the apostles, and to the holy fathers of the church. And as such, his message and the movement it generated became relevant in his own time and also opened doors towards the future, developments he could not expect and not foresee. Thus, the special committee paid also attention to the fact that from 1517 on, the Lutheran rediscovery of the gospel as the good news of justification by grace through faith unfolded itself in the following centuries in various ways, taking shape in different settings and churches, becoming ultimately a global communion here represented today. So the Lutheran churches are called not only to commemorate Reformation 1517, by the way, just as the Lutheran Roman Catholic Commission on Unity, we also preferred the word commemoration rather than celebration or even jubilee, although good arguments could be made also for these designations, but we preferred the term commemoration. So, coming back to my text, the Lutheran churches are called not only to commemorate the Reformation 1517, but also to acknowledge with gratitude the witness to the gospel throughout the centuries and in very, very diverse situations. The special committee recognized that many initiatives are being taken by the member churches and on regional basis. In fact, an appendix to the report contains an overview of the regional plans, was prepared and certainly will be enriched in the coming months and years. It was not sent to you in order not to overburden you with additional documents, but it does show to what extent the member churches are engaged in the commemoration of the Reformation 2017 already now for years before. And we all know that some churches have started even a decade before 2017. The proposal the special committee came to adopt aim ultimately to support these initiatives by the churches and to offer a global perspective on the Reformation 2017. Then I move forward to the PowerPoint presentation, giving some highlights of the Exhibit 11 you have received. So 2017 is a focal point for the further formation of the Global Communion and the reaffirmation of the LWF's ecumenical commitment. We are not proposing something in addition to the programmatic work of the LWF. We are proposing a specific perspective and a focal point for the work of the LWF. And 2017 is that focal point. And the LWF seeks to affirm and further develop that which distinguishes it as a global communion of churches. Highlighting and emphasizing the initiatives taken by the churches themselves, but at the same time giving a global framework for expression of the Lutheran Communion itself on a global scenery. So we move to the task of the special committee, which we were assigned by you, the council, was to set strategic directions, themes, and possible areas of program implementation for the anniversary, and B, to define the basis for program planning with the Communion Office. So these we tried to keep in mind while we were working as special committee. We move forward to the goals. We identified them as to strengthen the communion among the member churches as it lives and works together for a just, peaceful, and reconciled world. And then to explore the meaning of the Lutheran identity in the past, today, and towards the future. We did not focus simply on 1517. And not only on 2017, we thought, considering the unfolding of Reformation into the various and different situations around the globe throughout the centuries, but then also trying to look forward. So trying to understand our own identity as a proposal towards vis-a-vis the challenges of today and towards the future we are going to. And then we also identified as a goal to strengthen the ecumenical commitment as important to our own identity and not simply something in addition to our identity or something of a practical nature, but the very core of our own identity is also an ecumenical understanding and therefore the ecumenical commitment. We move to networks and research. We try to see what is going on already and trying to highlight what is being prepared also by the churches, but then also by the Communion Office in the LWF. But very, very central, we think, is the sharing of experiences and initiatives by the member churches so that we can learn from each other and therefore also strengthen our own communion. But then we have mentioned briefly there in the report the Global Young Reformers Network. Actually, a good portion of the time we were thinking about how important can this be for young people, or will it be irrelevant for young people? So the Global Young Reformers Network is a very important when we look towards the anniversary 2017. The same we could say, or analogously, to the regional network of the Office for Women in Church and Society, also developing various projects and proposals. We also were reminded of the LWF Center in Wittenberg, as well as all what is being prepared, mainly by the German churches, towards 2017 in Wittenberg and in Germany. We were reminded of the Luther Garden project, which has brought about followers in various countries. In my own country, Brazil, there are in the meantime several Luther Gardens in various parts of the country, inspired by this initiative in Wittenberg. And then we also considered very important that we engage in sharing and cooperating and strengthening ourselves mutually by biblical interpretation, looking into the Lutheran tradition, and also engaging ourselves in interfaith dialogue. Then we have a brief segment on the ecumenical relationships, which we treasured very much. They are on different ways of, not all of them with the same intensity in different ways, but looking into how the anniversary of 2017 can be a part of the process of dialogue in our ecumenical bilateral relationships being mentioned now, one by one. The Lutheran Roman Catholic, the Anglican Lutheran, the Lutheran Mennonite. We all remember the so meaningful event in Stuttgart. Lutheran Reformed, Lutheran Orthodox, and Lutheran Pentecostal. So the report contains a few remarks on each one of them. Then we move to values, and we identified mainly those two. We had a longer list, and then we shortened it up. Unity in diversity. So as a Lutheran communion, a global communion, we want to express unity, but we want to also to acknowledge the diversity among us coming out of diverse contexts. And so we took up the second value, Catholicity and contextuality. We are an expression of the Catholic Church, at the same time in global and different contexts. If we come to content principles, we expressed the idea that the Reformation as a global citizen, it's not simply an event for Germany, as fundamental and important it is for the churches in Germany and society in Germany as well. But Reformation, in the meantime, as a global citizen. Reformation gradually unfolded in different settings and was embraced in different situations and epochs, enriching this movement and turning it into a global communion. But then also, we again underline the ecumenical accountability. We don't want to have a commemoration for our own sake, but it is to take it up as an opportunity to make visible the fruits of the ecumenical processes and achievements which have been, which we can testify to today. And finally, again, the idea that the churches of the Reformation are churches in ongoing reformation. If we move to more formal principles, We looked into sustainability, so we wanted to identify processes and activities which strengthen the LWF communion beyond 2017. We did not want to add additional tasks to the LWF and the communion office and to the churches, but to identify processes and activities which would strengthen the LWF communion. Strategic fit activities that build on the strength of the LWF communion and are based on the LWF strategy 2012 to 2017. So we looked into the strategic plan of the LWF and wanted to relate, to be a part of that process and take up what is contained already in that plan. Then we thought about benefits for member churches, activities. We were thinking about activities that create clear benefits for and build sustainability among member churches of the LWF. Again, we did not look into demands to the member churches, but supporting initiatives of the member churches. And then we also thought about the process orientation. Activities be prepared by the communion office to be part of the processes and not stand-alone events. So nothing to compete with the day-by-day agenda of the LWF, but being a focal point for the agenda of the LWF. Then we looked very extensively, reflected about the year 2017. If I say extensively, please keep in mind that we had only two meetings of physical presence. We also had a conference via telephone and internet and so on, but we focused very much on 2017. Our assignment was 15 to 17, but we looked very carefully to 2017. And of course, we realized that 2017 is the date when the LWF assembly will be taking place. So we identified the assembly as a most visible expression of the global Lutheran communion, which can also be the best opportunity to commemorate the Reformation with the presence and participation of our ecumenical partners who will be invited and will be with us at the assembly in Namibia as decided yesterday. And the assembly will be an occasion, we understand, for the joyful acknowledgement of the power of the Lutheran witness to the gospel, and at the same time, a space for the self-critical recognition of failures in faithfulness and of the continuing pain of division among Christians. And we were also challenged and inspired by the so meaningful and moving event of the reconciliation between Lutherans and Mennonites in Stuttgart. Then we devoted very much time about what theme should govern our reflection and our commemoration from now and then specifically in 2017. And we refrained from any idea of trying to bring a proposal of themes in addition to what would be the theme for the assembly. We were so bold, and we were also supported in that boldness of proposing then not to have competing themes, but whatever we would come up as a proposal to be understood also as a proposal or theme for the assembly itself. So if we come, so we said just one theme for the assembly and the anniversary. It would not be helpful if in the year 2017 we would be preparing things with two different themes. We came to think about this possibility, which you will be seeing there, not for sale. We wanted to have something which would be challenging, perhaps a little bit provoking, would be talking also to outside of our own community, to the public. And we were thinking about that possibility, but then we refrained from it because we thought that could be misunderstood as a theme. In various ways we were talking about. We also wanted to be more affirmative, calling directly to the core of our own identity. So we left it aside. And we came then, we looked again into the strategic plan of the LWF itself and so on, and we decided to propose as the theme the following: Liberated by God's grace. And the exhibit you will see has a brief explanation also of how this would be understood, the theme. Saying that inspired by the LWF, I'm now reading the segment of the report, inspired by the LWF strategy 2012 to 2017, the special committee proposes the theme Liberated by God's Grace for the assembly and the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we call the attention to related biblical readings, which are listed there. This theme offers various possibilities for reflecting on such questions as liberated by God's grace from what, for what, enabling us further to explore the Lutheran understanding of the doctrine of justification and being free to serve the neighbor, of being a responsible citizen in the world and stewards of God's creation. Thus, the concept of the freedom of the Christian, so dear to Luther and so relevant at all times, is also highlighted by the proposed theme. Then we moved to reflect on the possible sub-themes. First decision was not to have too many sub-themes, but we finally came up with the idea of having only three sub-themes, which we could then also easily remember. And the next step was that we reflected on which areas we would like to address as sub-themes, always to be understood as sub-themes under the main theme of the assembly and the anniversary commemoration. So salvation was then one area we identified. The next one, we thought we should highlight human beings. And thirdly, creation. So these three areas we identified. And then when we were starting to think, but how are we going to phrase it, suddenly the idea of not for sale came back to us. And we finally then, after a fairly long dialogue among ourselves, came to the following proposal. Salvation, not for sale. Human beings, not for sale. Creation, not for sale. Again, the report gives a brief explanation to each one of the sub-themes. I won't read it now for time's sake, but there is a brief explanation how to understand each one of these. Of course, perhaps I may say this on salvation, of course, it's a free gift of God. to us in Jesus Christ, and human beings created at God's own image have to be respected in their dignity as being created by God's image, not be turned into a commodity and human trafficking we were mentioning there. And the whole creation, of course, is the creation given to our care and not for our exploitation and not to be commercialized and so on. Okay, if we move then, 2017, this part was then on theme and sub-themes proposed for the assembly and for the anniversary. Then we gave considerable reflection on the Reformation Day 2017, October 31st, 2017. And we came up with a proposal. You will have a little bit more details in the report. But we are proposing that services to be held on October 31st around the clock and around the globe, starting in the east and moving to the west, for symbolic reasons and to call the attention and curiosity of others and so on. We actually even came to the suggestion of starting those services at 2017 hours. But each time 1 hour and moving from the east to the west around the globe. For that purpose, materials should be prepared by the LWF and offered to the churches, liturgy, hymns, prayers, homiletic tools, to contain universal elements that transmit the sense of belonging to one global family, the Lutheran Communion, while being at the same time open for contextual elements in order to highlight the relevance of the gospel of God's grace for today in diverse contexts. So both should be present, something which would be in common at all places and something which would be the contextual input from each one of the given contexts. And then, of course, the LWF would have to identify the location of the services to be transmitted via internet, one following the other. Of course, all churches are invited to have a service on October 31st, 2017, or if in their context it is a Tuesday, would not be so feasible than the Sunday before, but preferably on the October 31st itself. But LWF will identify the locations of those services which are would be going to be transmitted by internet. Again, starting from the east, moving to the west, so that whoever has the possibility of staying awake for 24 hours could follow for 24 hours the services on that day. But we trust that many people would look here and there during that day. We also are proposing that church bells to ring in remembrance of the Reformation as a call and as a call to prayer. Alternatively, some churches don't have bells to ring, but even those which have bells could alternatively also consider to take up the bell ringing of the Stadtkirche in Wittenberg to be reproduced on that occasion and giving again a different sign of belonging to one communion and of reference to the event which took place in 1517 in Wittenberg. Then we come to further recommendations. There are some more in the report than listed here. I go through very quickly here. To encourage the member churches and regions to develop their own themes and sub-themes along the lines of the ones proposed by the special committee and, of course, if adopted by the council. To be aware of major member church projects, sharing process, for example, via web page of LWF. Collect daily readings from Luther and other reformers, but also contemporary voices. That is a fairly big task, and to share the symbolic action of tree planting around the world. Still, further recommendations to encourage the member churches to make use of the LWF website dedicated to the Reformation anniversary for sharing with other member churches their own Reformation stories, to use existing networks, for example, youth and women networks, but also of the networks of representatives of theological institutions for sharing or collecting ideas for the Reformation anniversary. In LWF's ecumenical engagement, to pay attention to the fact that the history of the Lutheran Church goes beyond the 16th century, being as long as the history of the Christian Church, as being an expression of the Church universal. To pay attention to developing interreligious processes, particularly involving the Abrahamic religions, perhaps for the LWF with a special focus on Islam, but certainly not excluding relations with Jews, the Jewish community. Well, then the question, what happens from here on? And I would say after the council has decided, and in case the council has adopted as its own, the communion office will be acting as a facilitator in the communion's involvement in the Reformation anniversary by engaging the communion, co-producing, providing a global framework. The communion office will strengthen networking and offer a platform where ideas and plans can be shared and new impulses received. Events and processes to be organized by the communion office are listed. So after this meeting of the council, the communion office will be expected to use the report again, if adopted, as a basis for further planning concrete processes and activities for the years 2015-2017. These plans and activities will be submitted to the LWF Council in June 2014 in the form of the Communion Office Operations Plan for the years 2015-2016. The next question is, of course, what happens the 32nd of October? We are not looking into a process which will end on the 31st of October 2017, but in strengthening the communion, in reflecting about our own identity, in also ensuring our ecumenical commitment, how are we going to be better prepared for the following period after the assembly of 2017? So the process would be going on after the year 2017. So concluding, I would... The special committee wishes to express its gratitude to the LWF Council for the confidence entrusted to it. As chair of the special committee, I would like to express the gratitude to the members of the special committee, several of them members of the council. We had a really wonderful experience. I also want to express the gratitude to the staff of the Communion Office and also in particular to the General Secretary who himself made himself available to be fully participating in our meetings. And so I would conclude saying that in our meetings and virtual contacts, we experienced what it means to be a global and ecumenically committed Lutheran communion. Liberated by God's grace and called to care for creation and to serve all human beings, We look forward to the commemoration of the Reformation anniversary in 2017, praising God for God's abundant and gracious gifts to us.